don't know what a hokey pokey is, but it sounds fun.
I don't think it's made with, it's a real koala.
I was tired, I was hungry, and I was hot. All of those three things combined equals Hurricane John.
Here's the problem I've always had with Helen Keller.
I seem weird? Like a lefty?
Pickles. They know me hate those pickles on me cheeseburgers.
Welcome to Bless Their Hearts. Jamie and John here, but we're not alone. We're here with Chris. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How are you all? Thanks for having me.
Dude, I'm so glad you're here. It's been a while since it's been too long.
Yeah.
It has. And John, you may not know this. Jamie actually asked me to come on here and co-host with him today so that you can start writing season three of Left Undead.
I hate you so much.
I'm so glad you brought that up. John, what's
have you guys really talked? How do you know about this? Did you actually
take about it on this show?
We talk about it every week.
You don't remember anything we talk about.
I don't remember a lot of things.
My name is Jamie, by the way.
It's getting worse too. I was somewhere yesterday with and there was a family sitting in front of me, and I've known them for 3 years, could not remember their children's names. So it's like dementia's happening early.
I feel like I do that intentionally with other people's kids. Other people's kids, for the most part, really suck.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Yeah.
I didn't even touch it that time, John.
I mean, I don't think it went out.
My mic's messing up. Chris, how do you feel about my kids? I'm just kidding. On the spot, rank them least favorite to favorite.
I did take your kids, Jamie, to school today, and they got in without any issues. And as soon as your youngest daughter got in, I was like, hey, I'm in a good mood today. I'm not going to say any bad words. She's like, oh, good.
She is very concerned about John's soul when he gets mad.
Yeah. I think we made amends. I gave her some cheese on Wednesday at church.
She is still very worried about Chris and how much Diet Pepsi he drinks.
Really?
I actually ran into her at Walmart about a week or so ago, and I had four of the 12 packs of the 20-ounce Diet Pepsis. She looked concerned.
Why? I mean, why is that bad for her?
Well, she just, you know I always have something to drink. Chris pounds Diet Pepsi. It's not like twice as much as I do. And one night she was working concessions and I think he at a baseball game and I think he bought five Diet Pepsis and she was just like, Mom, is he okay?
I've got an addictive personality.
I mean, there's worse things you could be drinking. So,
well, I mean, we were at a ball game. I think he just didn't have access.
Well, accurate? I don't know that would be stopping him. Yeah. What are you putting in the Diet Pepsi at ball games?
Depends on the coach, kidding. Probably. We were talking about coaching off the air. Did you catch my rant a couple weeks ago about not being there anymore?
I did, yes. I enjoyed that rant.
And I don't know if it's like a control issue or maybe just because I understand you, but I don't understand how the way other people run things. I've started sending you screenshots of the group chat because it drives me nuts.
It's part hilarious, part frustrating to read those messages. Frustrating because I got certain messages when I was coaching. Not to that level, but it also makes me appreciate the fact that I had good parents when I coached. And speaking of those parents, ever since I quit coaching, like I can remember a football practice after I quit coaching when Brady was in middle school, he went to his first varsity practice, and I had six parents that had played for me in the past that literally texted me 20 minutes after practice was supposed to be over. That they appreciated the fact that I didn't do that to them.
Yeah, that's probably the worst part is the letting out practice late. They've also called like three practices within 2 hours of when it's supposed to start.
That drives me nuts.
And people keep losing things.
Was it you that told me like practice for one team? Like, I guess they started running early for some reason, but then when they got into the actual practice, they ran more and then went over in time. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's.
And they technically stop shooting basketballs on time, but then they talk for a half hour. You got to build in the talk time.
The talk and the running, that's part of practice.
Yeah.
If practice is over at 7 o'clock, you start running at 15 till.
The only way they get out on time is when archery's got it next, and I think that's because they literally come in with weapons.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Jamie, I had a rule, if you remember, in Gavin and Brady's 8th grade year, if you lost your uniform, you didn't play because we were having kids losing shooting shirts, jerseys, shorts. Yep. I didn't have extra uniforms. You literally were not playing the rest of the year if you lost your jersey.
Yeah. Trying to think back, like,
I've said that.
I don't know that I've ever seen that happen.
They won't do it.
Like,
how somebody actually sit or somebody lose it?
Playing football, no. I don't know that I don't know how you lose your jersey. When I was a kid, that's all my life was football.
I feel like for football, we turned our jerseys in every week and they washed them and gave them back to us on like Thursday.
Yes.
We got them back and we got to wear them to school of game day.
Is that still the high school thing? Brady's the only football player I know.
Yeah, Brady brings his home. So we actually wash his. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's every week. So-and-so left his left practice shoe in Corbin. Did anybody pick it up? Like,
I feel like that's happened playing football before, where somebody would forget their cleats or maybe even their helmet. And unfortunately, we didn't have that rule, Chris. We just took it from a guy who wasn't going to play that day. So
one of my favorite things that happened was we got to a game. We were halfway through the first inning, and Chris saw somebody wearing Hey Dudes in the outfield. And I thought he was going to murder the kid. The kid, I mean, he took him out of the game. He can't play in Hey Dudes. I didn't notice the Hey Dudes because I didn't care, but I don't know if that would have made him any worse.
Like, think back to when we were kids, if we would have done that and the things our coaches would have said or done to us, and then versus today. I mean, take the kid out, but back then we might have got, I don't know, we might have got hit.
Dad would have killed me. Yeah. The coach would have been irrelevant. Dad would have killed me. But what's going through that kid's head that he thinks, like, why not come to us at the beginning of the game and be like, hey, coach, I don't have my cleats. You know, let's figure something out. No, he put on Hey Dudes and took off.
Because I have seen circumstances where they'll borrow cleats from somebody sitting on the bench or whatever, which also feels kind of weird because then you got somebody sitting there like knowing they're not going to play, which happens anyway.
Well, I mean, that's life, you know?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it should happen more often. Yeah.
I remember a kid freshman year, he came in, wanted to play football, and he came to his first football practice wearing flip-flops. And we were like running and stuff, so we called him Flop. Flop's dead. I mean, he carried that nickname for years. He was in the Marines.
He don't carry it anymore. We had a kid on our basketball at the beginning of a basketball practice one year, and he comes walking in with his big gulp, like his 44-ounce Diet Pepsi. I mean, just slamming it before. And we would start the first, I don't know, week of practice. We didn't touch a basketball. So we did a lot of conditioning. And 20 minutes in, he is barfing out 44 ounces of Pepsi or Mountain Dew or whatever he was having. But
had a gas station hot dog or something.
I'll guarantee it. But what's going on through that kid's head that I'm going to guzzle this 44-ounce drink before I walk in and run my guts out?
And learn the lesson the first time.
Yeah. God, when I coached football, we had this one kid that anytime it was time to start running, he all of a sudden had a bathroom emergency. I'm talking every day. Would go through practice, but when it was time to run 40s or gassers or whatever, got to go to the bathroom. Well, the very first football game, I'm not the head coach. You guys know the head coach, but the kid didn't play. And this is not, you know, this is not like a rec league where you get halftime playing or whatever. So the kid didn't play. His mama was irate after the game. Why didn't you play? Blah, 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 blah. And I knew what I would have said. But I didn't know if it was appropriate or not. Well, the head coach took over, and he's like, hey, you tell your kid to stop taking craps in the middle of practice, and maybe he'll get to play, but probably not because he's terrible.
All right. So
did he have to – son of a
– my mic keeps cutting out, so that's I'm not even going to edit that. So did he actually have to go to the bathroom, or was he just trying to get out of running? Because that's where my thought
is. He was lazy and just wanted to get out of running. But the consequence was – you don't play.
It's a good consequence.
Yeah, it's logical. But his mama just wasn't having it.
I love consequences.
Well, you can get a new president of your PTO, and he's like, I've got five people lined up, Sally. That's not her name, but in my mind, I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, I get it. Chris, when we watch these teams play middle school, Gavin is sitting next to me the entire time telling me what you would have done. Does that make you feel good?
It does.
He's like, if I was in eighth grade, we would have killed this team because Chris would have done this and this, and I don't know why they're not doing this. And I'm like, I don't know why you don't play basketball anymore, jerk.
I miss coaching for things like that, but gosh, I'm so glad to be done for the things like you just mentioned with parents. Their expectations of their kids are wildly out of control. Like if they were there every day, if that parent was there every day and saw the kid, you know, get out of conditioning, They might understand that, but they don't. They
I don't think they would. I think there's some of them that just would. Oh, my little baby's got to go to the bathroom.
You're probably right. And they don't understand the things that go into what coaches do, like all the background stuff, all the time. I joked at one point that I worked when we were doing travel baseball back in the old days before Jamie and I got together, and he started doing a lot of that stuff, if not most, if not all. But I would spend more time working on that at work than I did work.
Yeah, it's so much. So much. And a school ball's every day. Travels, you're spending all week planning for the weekend, but the school ball's every day. And
miss working with the kids. Like, I do miss that. That was a lot of fun. And
that's my least favorite part.
You shouldn't have favorites, but there's always that one or two kids on the team that just give it their whole heart. They're just old souls. I love those kids.
Which is the bigger list, the favorites list or the I hope I never see that kid again list? And I'm very cold-hearted. I get it. You have a very warm heart. You always start out, I feel like, in youth group or at the theater coaching. You're always like, man, I love this kid and what he brings. Mm-hmm. And then over time, you may change your mind. I'm usually like, I hate you until you make me laugh. So,
oh, no. Those type of kids outnumber the kids I genuinely would give my life for.
Okay, yeah.
I've actually found it the opposite. Like, the kids that I really enjoyed were overwhelmingly higher numbers than the kids that I didn't like. I can only think back to maybe two or three kids that I felt that way, that I was like, oh, man, I can't wait to get through this year because of that kid.
I hope you take this the right way, but I think you ran a lot of those kids off.
I probably did. Yeah. And I tell people all the time, I enjoyed practices way more than games because I liked working with the kids more than I liked what the results of what that work was. I didn't dread games, but I didn't enjoy games.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed practices. I enjoyed open gyms. I enjoyed individual workouts. But games themselves, I could totally take them or leave them.
There's totally get what
stakes
you're
there. Stress.
Especially the teams I coached, because they never won. Never. So I did like practice. And I didn't dislike a lot of kids, but there was just a couple that really stood out as like, this kid's going somewhere kind of kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There wasn't very many kids that I disliked. And those kids, kind of like what you all said, they ended up just quitting.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. We got some stuff planned for today. We've talked about John and Chris are convinced that they were in a CIA program as kids. So I've done my research to grill you guys about your possible experiences. Chris,
are you able to confirm at the end of this if we were or not?
I
need you to do that.
Being unable to confirm it is part of the process.
Yeah.
But I need you to give
your best guess.
Okay.
All right.
If we're just going with who's gifted and talented, do you want me to say that out loud right now in front of both of you?
I'll say it. Chris is and I'm not.
Okay. There we go. No, I'm just kidding. But Chris also...
I
don't
think it was genuinely gifted and talented, though. I think it was, which of these kids might be a psychic and be able to be useful to the CIA?
Don't bury the lead here. All right, where we're going. But different schools call it different things. We're gonna the big, if you Google it, the GATE, gifted and talented education, will come up. It's been called enrichment, TAG, talented and gifted. And
I don't know that I had a name, Angelico.
So let me ask this: what's the difference between gifted and talented, and why do you have? And I know a lot of kids who are talented, or maybe gifted, but not the other. It's like rock and roll. Sometimes you rock and don't feel like rolling.
A gift is like a God-given ability. You didn't have to work to hone it. And talented, you had to work to, get it where it was.
Okay.
Gifted equals intuition. Like an inherited reflex.
Well, I don't get that they're all put together, because I find most kids that are gifted things don't work as hard to hone the talent.
See, and if I was ever talented, it was because I worked hard, because I was not gifted.
You and I batted 500 getting our kids in gifted and talented. Chris only has one kid and he was in it, so he's
100%.
He's killing it.
Oh, neither one of my kids were in it.
Didn't they go see Ray? So Ray's a GTE teacher.
They went to see him hi to him, but they never had him.
Ray is a GTE teacher. I feel like what he does now is different. We talked about that off the air.
It's way different than what it was when I was a kid, yes.
But Ray did have that experience where Men in Black showed up at his house, right? So maybe he is in on this now.
He saw a UFO at a Pizza Hut once in London.
So maybe Ray is just a deep undercover guy trying to still get to know us. Maybe we're going to get invited
this
to
the CIA. Long game?
He's playing the long game.
I like
He's
that.
He's our agent assigned to us. What a coincidence, right? That we both were in the GATE program and now one of our good friends just happens to be a gifted and talented teacher.
And he's using me to find other gifted people.
And he's been in my house. I bet he's put stuff in my house.
We should search for bugs like Hopper does in Stranger Things.
God almighty.
That's good.
Now I'm paranoid.
For bugs or like actual bugs or listening devices?
No, I have bug spray. But
Chris also sent us a TikTok about a guy who just talks about things that rule. Because everything's negative all the time.
Yeah.
Most of the TikToks we send each other are people doing stupid crap and getting hurt, which is amazing. But there's so much joy to be found in life.
Yes.
And this TikTok inspired Chris, I think, to talk about some things that rule.
It did. He does every day. He'll do a list of five things that rule. I got off the train pretty quick, so I've listened to him for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
But I'm sure if we go through a list, we're going to have many things that he's covered in the past.
Sure.
Because a lot of things rule to many people.
I love his format too, and just the obscurity of some of the stuff he talks about. But it's like, everything he says, I'm like, that totally does
rule. That does rule. And we don't even think about it most of the
time. Maybe we need to play one of those or just repeat it in a way that they understand.
Okay, I can play one, I think, if I can get my phone connected to this machine that is not working well. One more question, though. John, you broadcasted a basketball game without me. We're doing another one together soon. Chris, I think you sat last year out due to some circumstances from calling basketball with me, or did you do any last year?
Is that called a restraining order? I don't remember what circumstance it was.
I'm trying to recall. The last one I did was Madison Central and somebody. I don't even remember who they played.
Yeah.
I don't think it was
Southern. I think you did. It was last year.
I think it was last year, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I hope to get you back on there. It's fun. John and I got caught.
We called football games together.
Yes,
when you were sick or something.
Yeah. Neither of us missed a game this year. It was weird.
Can we talk about how in that game, and you all, we may have talked about this last time I was on here. I can't remember what we But Brady had a pick six.
Oh, man.
And John was calling it amazing. Brady, and I sat there and never said a word.
Brady's his son. He was a sophomore that year?
Yes.
And played linebacker and had a, just perfectly thrown ball right in his direction. He reached up and snagged it. And I went old school, like Johnny Majors, Tennessee commentator. And I was like, he's at the 15, the 20, or the, wait, he's at the 15, the 10.
It's going the wrong way.
5, 4, 3, to give him 6. And I freaking loved it.
Oh, that's awesome. It was amazing. We talked about off-air intuition.
Yeah.
I had told Brady that night, if you recall, I had told him, I said, I'm on the call tonight with John. I said, and when you get the pick six, give me a look up there in the booth. And he did. As soon as he did it, he turns up to the booth and he kind of does this little dance. And after the game, he's like, how did you know I was going to do that? And I said, I just did.
Yeah.
It was the only one of his career. I think he had 2 interceptions last year, but that's the only time he ever got a pick six.
It was awesome. And I don't know if that audio exists anywhere.
Did you regret being on the air and not being able to go full dad on it?
No, I typically, as a coach, and you've seen me coach, I don't get animated very often. Like, I'm not one of those, I don't celebrate, I don't get too down. I get mad every once in a while, but had I been in the crowd, I probably wouldn't have. There was one time I got animated and celebrated at a sporting event on something he did.
It was a rough day. That was a rough day.
So
that's why we don't sit together anymore. Things are great.
I don't remember what I did yesterday, but I'll remember that pick six. I remember where he was at on the field, where it was at. It was awesome.
It was amazing.
And I was on the call for that. And I think I did a pretty good job.
And you're right. The audio doesn't exist. It wasn't on the TV format. And if I had the audio, that would be amazing.
I think it was on the radio that night.
It was radio only.
We've streamed a couple radio games on Facebook, but I don't like that because that way if I screw up, it lives forever.
Yeah.
John and I screwed up royally last week. I don't know if we've told you about this, and we don't have to go too deep into details.
Let's go.
We spent all the pregame talking about a certain player and how important they were to the team. It was their senior year. They were going to be great. Introduced the starting five. She's not out there. We're like, what's going on? She's not on the bench. She's not in the – she quit the team. And we
nobody told us. Still on the roster.
It was pretty terrible. We made a big deal out of it, and then she wasn't there. Nobody told us. So after the game – Like, I'm finding everybody I know that should have told us and yelling at them.
Who's the SID there? How did they not tell you that?
I don't know. I don't know what the... And I guess it's tough. Maybe they don't want to... Like, we weren't going to talk about it.
Yeah, but...
Just like we're not talking about it now.
It's more awkward to not tell us because we were talking about that kid 30 minutes during pregame.
I tried to get out in front of that once last year for the boys because the boys team... There was a scuffle at a game, and two boys were suspended. I went to the coaches beforehand. I'd heard this through the grapevine. I was like, look, is anybody suspended? They were like, well, this guy's hurt, wink, wink, and he's not playing, but that's it. And I was like, I just don't want to keep asking why is he not playing, and it be because of a fight and me not know it.
Right.
So I tried to get ahead of it, but they definitely left us hanging. That was pretty terrible. That did not rule.
It was fun when you were doing the we talked about it, and then they were introducing the kids to come out on the court, and it was dark because they had like the fancy light show and all that stuff. And there was four kids out, and you're like, and we know who the fifth one is.
And it was somebody else.
Yeah. And then you were like, we went to commercial, and you're like, they're not even on the bench. What is happening? It was hilarious.
So I texted my son, one of the people that knew and didn't tell me. And that was, so he's got a black eye. I'm kidding. All right. Can we talk about some things that rule?
Yeah. Do we want to do that or gate stuff first?
I feel like the gate stuff will get really deep. So let's do that.
Stuff that rules.
We'll take a break and we'll do stuff that rules when we get back. I'll pull up that TikTok.
My closet. I got five more things that rule. Let's get into it. Starting off strong, the Grand Canyon. If you've never been, go right now. I've been four times. It's bananas. Okay, it's ridiculous. Number two, when the guy at the gas station calls you boss, makes you feel like a million bucks. Love when that happens. Number three, when it's cold out and you get into bed, you get a little shiver because you're finally warm. That rules. When you do an impression of somebody and your buddy goes, hey, dude, that was pretty good. Makes you feel like you could, you know, potentially star in Hollywood. Hell yeah. And then the last one, when you meet someone's dog for the first time and they go, wow, he's not normally like that. He's typically pretty shy. Kind of makes you feel like Caesar Milan and that you can speak to animals. That rules. Yeah, that's it for today.
Yeah, so there's five things that rules from this guy and his TikTok account. Not to get too technical, but it's called Stuff That Rules.
Is it with a Z? R-U-L-Z?
It's not. If it was, I would not watch it. I cannot handle things like that. That's it's not cool at all.
You guys have a list. You guys came prepared of stuff that rules, and I've started making a list.
I always have that list. Here. Like, always in my hand.
I do think it, like, I'm going to get really, like, emotional, I guess, but like having gratitude and having stuff that rules that you're consciously aware of can change your whole life. Like if you walk around pessimistic and looking at things that piss you off all the time, I don't want to hang around you. But if you can be grateful for the little things, it changes your whole life. So I love this kind of stuff.
So without headphones, I don't know what that guy said. Can you give me a generic list of what he said?
When a stranger's dog says, oh, he's not usually like this with people, you know?
Oh, that's amazing.
When somebody says you do a good impression, like, hey, that was pretty good.
Somebody calls you boss.
Because some of these, and again, I've listened to at least two or three of his. I'm sure we're going to have some overlap. So my list may include a thing that he said there.
And then his first one was the Grand Canyon. So
yeah. Grand Canyon, I've never been there.
I bet it rules.
But I bet it rules.
Yeah.
I've been to Niagara Falls. It rules.
Talk about it. I've not been.
Just so there's the Canadian side and there's the American side.
Which side's better?
The Canadian.
Oh wow!
You get
that's a hot take from you.
I got from me to you away from the edge of Niagara Falls. The amount of water going over that thing, your brain can't even comprehend the power and the amount of water. It ruled.
Okay. Us gifted and talented kids can comprehend that. Oh, it's odd that you did say the Canadian side, because can we agree that America rules?
America does.
America does. With its problems.
It has potential to rule a whole lot more.
Yes.
Yeah. Why don't we just take over Canada? Just give us Tim Hortons, Joey Votto, and keep everything else.
I think it's more of a liability than it is a benefit. Yeah.
I heard a funny bit somebody did about the reason Canada's never at war is because it has the best border wall of all time, the United States of America.
Yeah, so that's true.
Nobody's trying to get into Canada.
What else rules?
The first drink of any soft drink. Like, you crack it open, it's fresh. I don't know why, but the first drink tastes... If my Diet Pepsi that I'm drinking is an 8, the first drink's a 9.5. The rest of it's an 8. The last drink, it's mostly spit, probably a 6.
Yeah.
The first drink rules, especially when it's cold and you're hot. Oh, man.
My list had a cold beer on a hot day.
Yeah.
But, yes, you don't have it. It starts to get flatter as you drink because it's exposed to air. Now, with that first drink out of a pop is amazing.
I didn't think we were going to science this much.
I'm even going to get more specific. Like, the first drink, I like pouring. You're drinking out of a bottle. I like to pour out of a can or bottle into my own cup. This one's pink, so don't make fun of me. But pouring your drink into your own cup and just having that moment by yourself.
Here's like the problem I have with drinking rules. Out of cups. This bottle has a small opening and a can has a small opening. I can chug a cup so fast, and then I have it for a less for a shorter amount of time. It is.
I'm like,
don't have to clean that.
No, that's true.
When you're done with it, that rules.
I like the old guy off of the Duck Commanders. What am I trying to say?
The Robertsons.
Yeah, I was just going to leave you hanging.
Uncle Si has his own cup, and like does. I have this one that's pink, and I have a gray one, same cup. Carry them around all the time.
All right.
What else?
We can round robin this. Anybody wants to go next?
Chris?
So I'm good. You talk about being philosophical and people that are appreciative of things they have and things that throughout their day make them feel good. One of them is when your parent tells you they're proud of you. Like, that hits different. That's something that just rules. It's to have your dad. I know, you know, telling your kids you love them, that means a lot. But when you tell them you're proud of them, that just hits different.
Yeah, man, whew, I don't want to cry. That would feel nice. One time, just within the last week, like we do stuff for our kids, and I'm not naive enough to expect that everything I do for my kid is going to get a thank you. You know what I mean? But it does feel good when it happens. Well, the other night, my son says, like, I'm walking upstairs, and he's like, "Hey, Dad, thank you," and I said something like, "Oh man, yeah, what for what?" Like, I don't remember doing anything. He's like, "Some kids just don't have dads they like hanging out with, and I really like hanging out with you." That ruled.
I did. That
and
rules.
I needed that.
That's funny, because Avery the other night was like, "Some kids don't have dads that they like hanging out with, and I really like hanging out with John." It was just one of the sweetest things ever.
That stuff does rule.
It rules when I have a joke in my mind, but one of my kids says it first, because I'm like, they're starting to get, and it's usually Avery. She's the funny one.
Usually.
That's no. They haven't said that yet. They have started talking about the D's Nuts game because of you and your daughter, though.
My daughter, she's still doing
your
that.
Kids doing something positively that you would do, especially if it's something like witty or fun or whatever. I think that rules. When they do something like I would do that I hate, then that's different.
It's funny, because on my list was saying something witty that your wife or your kid like really enjoys. Like, you get them just cackling on something that you said, because, you know, they picked up the same humor that you have. So that's a great one.
And they also have heard me say so many things that are not funny that if they actually laugh, I feel like it's real.
It's real.
Because they're not afraid to just silent treat
me. I love finding like something very humorous and showing it to somebody, and they also get into it. So it's like we have that shared experience. That rules. But I've also had it where I'm really excited about something and the other person's like, "Yeah, I don't get it." And I'm like, "Well, that doesn't rule
at all."
Yeah.
So that you get that moment with your kid that they do something like that, and you're like, "Well, that was pretty cool." So on my list was when your kid does something cool in general, like, you know, they get a pick six, we talked earlier, they, you know, win some award at school, or they make a funny joke, just when you get to see them do something that's just really cool, like, that rules.
Yeah, that does rule. I'm going to go away from people and just have a couple of solitude things. I think it rules when it rains really hard. You guys are going to make fun of me for this. When it rains really hard and I don't have anything to do, I put on my rain boots and go stand in the creek. And that rules.
I'm trying to think. Like, that feels like a mental condition.
What? It's calming, man.
Yeah. Okay.
You guys don't do that?
Okay. I don't. Like, why do you have... Why do you have to be in a creek if it's raining, and why does it have to be raining for you to get in the creek?
Okay, well, when I say creek, it's the ditch out front.
Anything that's a puddle of water.
And it is only a creek when it rains.
Okay. All right. That makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I could see where that would rule.
If it was an actual creek, I could do it on dry days, and that would rule as well. Just being around water by yourself rules.
Yeah, I like water quite a bit. I bought a boat because Chris did, and now he sold his, and I don't know what to do with my life.
I have a friend with a boat. Now I have two friends with a boat.
No, you don't. He sold his. Unless he sold it to another one of your friends.
Don't you have a pattern of buying it back?
So I'll buy it back. That was my third. I'm sure I'll get one.
I think fixing, like, you guys are both more mechanically inclined than I am, but anytime
my wife's not in here.
That's an excellent point. I always forget that your wife is the primary carpenter.
I'll never forget setting that ladder for you. And then you're like, is it good? I'm like, yeah, it's fine. And then I see your wife starting. I was like, whoa. Let's really make sure this is okay.
So Heather listened to that podcast and she says, what they probably don't know is I wouldn't let anybody but me get on there because she loves stuff like that.
Yeah, I just left. Yeah, I was so uncomfortable.
Probably best.
I remember the boys were like six and you brought out a portable pitching mound and you're like, yeah. I was like, oh, well, where'd you get the plans? You're like, I don't know. Heather built it. And I was just like, oh, I was kind of surprised. Unfortunately, maybe that's sexist.
That kind of stuff rules.
But anytime fix something physically, mechanically, and it works, or even it's almost Christmas time. I don't have little kids anymore, but putting stuff together and it actually working is it totally rules. It's phenomenal. Just starting Luke's motorcycle the other day after he hadn't ridden it for a few months, he had flooded it, and I went out there and just got it going, and I felt it ruled a lot.
Yeah. I bought a carburetor for my weed eater off Amazon and I replaced it and it didn't work right. But then I found out that those aren't really good carburetors. So I bought an actual OEM carburetor for it and put it on and it worked perfectly. And that ruled.
Okay.
Because the project went without problems.
Okay.
Most of my projects don't do that.
I'm going to have to call Heather and ask what a carburetor is. I didn't follow any of that.
I thought OEM was a band.
John mentioned something like a personal thing that ruled, and then Jamie mentioned work. So I've got two of them here on my list. The personal thing for me is that drive home, on your last day of work, for me it's a Thursday afternoon or the last day of work before vacation, that drive home, that rules. That's so good. And then the other thing is, getting out of something that you're dreading doing, fixing a carburetor. If I know it's coming up and I've got to do it and I'm dreading it, and then I get out of it somehow, somebody else fixes it. Or gosh, that rules. Like knowing you had to do something and then completely getting out of it. That's amazing.
I remember in college taking my last final for the semester.
That feeling.
That ruled.
Yeah.
Just freedom.
I work from home.
We'll
now.
Never feel that again I as don't a get working that drive. Adult who provide for people.
Yeah. You know what? This might rule more than anything, but it's when somebody else messes up and can't get something, and when you think it's just you, I can't do this, and then somebody else fails at it, seeing that person fail to know that you're not alone is amazing.
That's a good feeling.
That's a really good feeling. So I try to set people up for failure so I feel better for myself. It works so far.
Another solitude moment for me that rules is... if I have a bonfire and I'm around a lot of people, that rules. But when everybody leaves and it's just me and the fire, that rules.
That does rule.
I love sitting beside a fire by myself.
I would love being at a bonfire listening to old 80s and 90s country music.
Yes.
With a bunch of buddies and stuff. That rules. Yes.
That's the only music that should play near fires.
Speaking of music, I did have this one in mind. Chris, you picked me up a couple of months ago and we went, up to Richmond to look at some stuff. and you introduced me to a new band, and that ruled. I love finding good music that I'd never heard before, because it's like,
they don't really make good music much anymore, so it's kind of rare.
And when they do, like, I need a friend to point it out to me, because I'm not otherwise going and searching for it. So a friend that shares good music,
that does rule. Skylines, like when you're pulling up to a city, yeah, and you see the backdrop, because you're still outside the city, so traffic's not crazy, your life isn't crazy, you're not lost and knocking over microphones.
Whoops.
But you see the beauty of the city, and you see, like, I don't know, there's expectation, there's excitement of, I'm going to a Reds game or whatever, without the craziness yet. It's like the build up of that anticipation really.
And it's
rules.
All downhill from there, because I don't like being in cities.
You should just stop and turn around, to be honest.
I've seen it.
Especially if you're going to see the Reds.
I do like being at the Reds games. I don't like being in big cities other than when I'm at a sporting event.
Yeah.
Yeah, that drive coming up over the hill and seeing Cincinnati, that rules. Sweet. Especially as a kid, like, I can remember the first time I saw it on our way to a Reds game, and like, you see that skyline, you're like, man, that rules.
Because where the three of us grew up, there was no building more than three stories, right?
Correct.
I remember being a kid driving like through Atlanta and seeing the skyline, but sometimes we would drive through at night, but you couldn't see the skyline, but you could see the lights of the city for miles ahead of it. And I thought that ruled, because I knew where
it
I was
does
at.
Rule.
Something else that rules is finding an email or a text that proves you right. Oh, that rules so much.
I love when someone asks me a question that I know I've addressed in an email, and I pull up that old email and forward it to them again. That rules.
The amount of time I've spent with Chris on things that have communications tied to them, and the amount of time he spent trying to prove himself right, like that Venn diagram, like, it's almost completely engulfed, because he like does that all the time.
I think it's really part of being in the gifted and talented program.
Maybe they teach you that in GATE.
I think they did. Yes.
We're always right.
I've seen Chris do it so much.
Yeah. We're right. If people would just do what we say,
the
world would be better.
Yeah.
And that's why I keep everything. That's why I'm an email hoarder. John deletes all of our stuff. We can't do that.
But at work, for my work,
okay,
I have stuff from 2009 that I could pull up if I need to. But for our business work, no, most of those are just junk we don't need anymore.
Yeah, that's what you think until you get sued.
That's a good point.
Awkward.
Getting sued does not rule.
I would imagine not.
Getting the receipt of the lawsuit has been dropped rules.
I did rule.
So it's done, whatever it was.
We're good.
For now.
We'll see. Yeah, Chris was going to be an attorney at some point, I think, right? Didn't you think
I was? Yes, I actually.
You would have been a heck of an attorney,
and that would have ruled to have you taken care of us.
That would have ruled. I was going to be I was offered a pretrial courts officer job out of college, and I chose to go into the steel business for whatever reason. But
it's worked out.
Miles and I at work, we talk all the time about we would have been amazing lawyers, because that's how we kind of do things.
I can find a loophole for anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A buddy of mine, I think I've told this story, but we were playing some kind of game. I don't remember what it was called, but it was like that you were given a scenario and you had to pick what person playing the game with you that described the most.
It's like apples to apples. Is that
something like that? But one of them that came up was like 2 + 2 = 5. And one of the guys said me, and I was like freaking mad. I was like, I am not an idiot. He's like, no, it doesn't have anything to do with it. But he said, if you believe in your mind that 2 + 2 = 5, you'll make it equal
you'll
5 somehow.
You'll make it. Yeah.
And I was like, you're dang right. You're dang right.
That rules when somebody recognizes that in you.
That did rule.
Yeah.
That did rule. I mean, to the point where I remember it 7 years from then.
The unexpected compliment, I think, is awesome. I know there are times when you expect, like, this was good. Somebody better pat me on the back. But when it's not expected, it rules.
That does rule. Doing something nice for somebody rules. Like when you do something for somebody that they don't know or they don't even realize that they needed something done, and you kind of like, man, that feels good. That's a good feeling. That rules.
Anonymity.
Yes.
Yep. Saying that really rules.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know.
All right. You guys ready to transition to your childhood trauma?
Absolutely. Speaking of child, a baby smiling or a baby laughing when they look at you.
Yes.
Is that not the best feeling? You don't know what's going through their head.
Yeah.
But something's good. That rules to get that smile.
I work with some folks that have kids that are like 3 through 7 or 8 years old. and just being the old man in the room to say, look, I know you're busy and I know you're tired, but soak up these days because they are fleeting. Just being able to share some wisdom rules.
That does rule.
I mean, holding a baby while it's sleeping and you fall asleep rules so much. It's the best nap of all time.
I bet being a grandparent's going to rule.
Yeah.
It rules.
It does? Okay. Can I borrow your grandchild to take a nap?
Being able to have those sweet moments of holding the baby, but then when the baby wakes up, you just pass off, you know, hey, they need to be changed. That's not me anymore.
Not my tag. Yeah. That's good.
That's going to rule.
Any more comments?
Man, I just like thinking of things that rule.
I think
this whole thing is ruled.
I was going to say, I could do this all day.
Yeah. I mean, my list ran out a long time ago and still.
Did you get to everything on your list?
Let me pull up my list here. Your favorite sports team winning?
Oh, yeah.
How much does that rule?
I'll let you know when it happens.
I was genuinely thinking a minute ago is like when your team wins, but it's like a come from behind win, you know, like when they're down, but they're not out. It's only happened like once or twice for me.
Shoot, last night, the Kentucky women's volleyball team, the favorite to win the tournament, was getting killed and came back and won.
That's awesome.
It's volleyball. You like volleyball. I love volleyball. You should watch.
Volleyball rules.
John will love this one, the first grass cut of the year. Oh, how much does that rule?
I love it. It's every time I cut grass.
Well, for me, it starts, you know, it's like the drink of your Diet Pepsi. It slowly gets worse. Yeah. But that first one, amazing.
I don't know if I've talked about it on the air, but Chris, my lawnmower right now is at like a hospital for lawnmowers.
Oh, no.
Repair shop. So they got it thinking it was just going to be like a annual tune-up. Well, then I get a call from them, and it was like, hey, we under your deck, I've got a mulching kit. And he said the baffles or whatever that separate each blade, they've been beat all to death, and it's like causing my blade to hit them and stuff. He's like, do you want to fix that? I was like, how much is it? He's like, $800. But I mean, it's like, it would be like me getting a call from my child's doctor, like, we need to give your kid some medicine. Is that okay? Yeah, of course. You got to do whatever. You got to do whatever you got to do. The urge to call them every day to check in on it has been overwhelming.
You've not went and visited it yet?
I promise I almost did, but I didn't.
One other thing that rules, hitting a big parlay. Oh, how good's that feeling?
I don't know.
I'll let you know what I know.
I don't know. I've been so close.
Oh, no. It rules.
I bet it does rule. One of my staff got we had like a gift exchange or whatever. I ended up with a bottle of wine and lottery tickets, which are two things I've never bought for myself. I bought a lottery ticket when it's like $1 billion or whatever. But
which
one of
currently is.
It was a scratch off, and one of them won $2, and that ruled.
That would.
And then I took it back, and I was like, well, let's just play it again. And then I won $4.
I'm currently drinking your wine, and it rules.
The wine that they gave me is in a contraption where it's like a puzzle you have to figure out. So I don't drink it anyway, but even if I wanted to, I would never be able to get into it.
I think they just want to make sure that you're not already drunk when you open it, something like that.
I mean, I do have a pocket knife, so if I really wanted to get in it, it's just a rope I got to cut.
Speaking of puzzles, let's talk about the GATE program. I'm going to start out by talking about Project Stargate.
Okay.
CIA program where they tried to train people to use psychic abilities for warfare. Now, that included remote viewing, so projecting yourself to go and look for like a downed plane or look inside enemy facilities. It included, if you've seen them,
that's
in the
Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah. Somebody said they found the Ark of the Covenant. Killing things psychically. So Project Montauk was more of that. That's what Stranger Things is about. But being able to use psychic abilities to get information about your enemies and to win in war. One of those processes was called the Gateway Process, established at the Monroe Institute. And it's a process to teach yourself to be psychic. And people have connected that to the GATE program, suggesting that possibly kids in the 80s and 90s in Gifted and Talented were being vetted to see if they were candidates for the Gateway process for the CIA to use them psychically. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of reasons for that. So before we went on there, you guys were talking about it. And what was it called at your schools? the enriched
part? I can remember originally it was enrichment, and then it became gifted and talented, I think, as I went from one elementary school to the next.
Okay.
I don't remember it having a name.
It was outside?
It was not part of the school.
Let's go outside.
It was, they just randomly, without warning, got me from class. This was not a one-time thing.
Yeah.
This was multiple times. But I don't remember any of my friends being a part of it. I don't. There was never a time where it was like me and two other kids went down together. It was John come to the office, and they were like, oh, you have an appointment outside. And I got onto an RV where they did things.
Did they give you candy with no windows? Like, what are we doing here?
We'll
talk about what they did in a minute. But it was outside. It was people not affiliated with the school.
But now Chris's was in school.
Mine was in school. It wasn't part of the school building. I mentioned earlier, and we talked off air, there was a line of trailers, permanent trailers. It wasn't a camper, an RV, or anything like that, that had many functions, some after-school stuff and then some in-school stuff. But this one particular trailer is where they would take us. And there was maybe a group of 3 to 4 kids that I can recall.
Was it a school administrator teaching it or doing stuff?
Mine was, yes. Okay.
Mine was people not from the school.
Okay. So that's part of it. You're being removed from everybody else, and you're being potentially taught or really, like, do you remember learning anything, or was it mostly activity-based stuff?
Mine was activity-based. I don't remember receiving instructions. I remember them, like, performing tests, and I would have to perform them back. And then most of the time it was me doing puzzles and codes or the hearing tests and
Let's start with the hearing piece. Stuff. So they put the headphones on you, and I remember the raise your hand with which ear beeps for hearing tests.
I was in the camper that I was in, they had like a legit hearing test. So like you were in a soundproof room with a window where I could see the administrator.
Okay.
And I had headphones in.
But it
or on,
rather. Right. But it wasn't necessarily the hearing test.
What do you mean?
Mine wasn't the hearing test. Jamie mentioned, like, you know, raise your hand when you hear a beep or whatever. So I know those. We did those. But these were just sounds that played. And a lot of times, if I recall, like, you reacted, you would record your reaction to that sound.
Yeah.
You know, if you saw something or if you felt something or whatever.
Dude, I vaguely remember, like, how did this make you feel kind of question.
Yes, it was stuff like that.
So it's not testing your hearing.
But they did also do the... Which one do you hear? Like,
right.
Yes, because I would have to be like this one. Yeah.
So there
was both.
There are claims of both of that. That there was recognizing patterns, but also potentially playing frequencies that not everybody can hear, or playing things that should cause an emotion or something, and seeing how you react to it, and then documenting it.
I vaguely remember all of that.
Okay. Okay. So that's the headphone piece. Do you remember the setting inside the RV or the trailer? Like, was it dark? Was there music? Was it well lit?
So Chris was, well, you go ahead.
So ours were, the room was darkened, not dark, but it was, you know, the light was definitely turned down. There was always some music, low music going on in the background that it wasn't played for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't a, hey guys, we're going to listen to music, but there was music playing in the background, low tone, again, not completely dark in there, but dark.
Yeah.
And set up to where it was like a community. Like if there was four of us in there, we were kind of in a circle. You weren't at a desk all the time. Sometimes you were, but not all the time.
I don't remember ever, and it's not that it didn't happen, but I just don't remember there ever being music playing in the background. I do vaguely remember, I don't remember it being like dark, dark in the room I was in for my hearing test stuff, but I don't think it was like well lit. But there was also a window to where I could see the administrator. I remember it just being like super sterile too. Like it just felt like, I don't know, you know how like really clean doctor's offices are? Like it just felt, I don't know.
Compared to the rest of your Jellicoe Elementary School?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't part of the school. Like it was super clean.
So the mood setting is part of what people talk about, in addition to like manipulating your senses and sometimes sensory deprivation. So if you think, again, Stranger Things, when Eleven wants to do her psychic crap, she has to be somewhere where she can't hear or see anything. So part of that is you put the headphones on or you make it darker to where your psychic sense is enhanced because your other senses are in use or being dampened.
I could very well be making this up, but I feel like for some of the hearing stuff, I had to close my eyes, but I don't know. Cause the sounds didn't like, it wasn't like it was all in one ear all the time. Like sometimes you'd hear it in both ears and it would just be like this long, I don't know if a sound wave makes sense, but it was just like this crazy sound that you would hear.
Was that weird. Them dialing up the internet?
I don't know.
Because that's a pretty crazy sound. All right, John, you talked about a pink drink, and that's something that comes up.
I remember, so I know the fluoride thing, because like I remember doing that at the dentist, but I remember a little pink drink in what I would say is like when you go to Wendy's or Arby's and they have the expandable cups you can put ketchup in.
Yep.
I drank something out of those.
And you drank it and swallowed it.
Yes, I didn't put it in my mouth.
Because we did the fluoride at school, and I feel like it was very often, and you would swish it, and you were supposed to spit it out. I think most of my friends swallowed it because they didn't care. They wanted to see if they could get high off of it.
And maybe I just swallowed fluoride.
Yeah. So
I recall the fluoride, the swish, not the drink that you drank. Not that I can recall.
And that was generally in class, and they just came classroom to classroom for everybody. But people are claiming that there was a pink drink in their GATE program before they ran these tests on. So John,
when
you're saying
I drank
that
it was not with my class. It was like me going to this test thing.
Okay. And it was before, usually like as you were going, you would drink that and
that's
then start
like
doing the
when
test.
You would go in, that was first thing.
And John, was this multiple times or was it like once a year? Okay. All right. Cause
I don't even know if it was like once a year. It might've been multiple times a year, but it was very infrequent.
It wasn't weekly.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So in my mind, it was never weekly, but it was often. Like it wasn't like, hey, it's Thursday, time to go to the trailer.
And
but
I never got any notice. Like you would be in class and it's like, hey, John, we need you down here.
Yep.
But it was frequent enough that I remember it, but I don't think it was just once a year. I think it was like a few times a year.
Okay. Okay.
The best of my recollection.
Yeah. And now GT is very much like a built into the curriculum situation. So it's not.
I remember one time there was a group of us kids that were called out. And this was a lady that I had never met before. And she was just at our school. And she said that it was for a music program. But she was not a teacher at our school. She was only there this one day. And she brought us in. And she's like, I want you to listen to the rhythm I make. And then I'm going to stop and let you make it, see how much of it you can remember. And I remember her clapping out this beat that was like so random. And I remembered every bit of it. And I clapped it back to her. And then so I got picked to do something.
To remote.
And those kids went back to class.
Okay.
Do you remember anything like that?
I don't.
The rhythm stuff?
I mean, that could have been part of the headphone stuff, too.
We had several rhythm things. I don't recall, like, in a setting like that. But we did a lot of Morse code stuff. Like, you would learn Morse code in there, and you would have these activity sheets, and you would go and fill out what this meant, what the, you know, the dot, line dot, all the different things. But I don't recall.
I don't remember doing Morse code, but you and I were talking. I remember doing the
numbers.
They would give us a code to decipher,
right,
and give us the key.
And that's what I wanted to go to next. So, like, what kinds of activities were there? And I've heard the Morse code thing. I've heard and when I think about the code, I don't know. I think about it like a crossword. Like, you know that a 2 is S, so I put all the S's here. But it sounds like it was more of a, you were blind going in, and the message was more cryptic.
Well, it was like they would give you a paper, and there would be lines and then a number underneath of it. And then they would give us a separate piece of paper with the key. So then were we able to go in and like match up the number to see what letter it was and all that?
Yeah.
Is that what you did?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Do you still remember Morse code? Morse.
I don't.
Morse.
No.
There's no I.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think we probably learned a lot of elementary languages too, if I'm not mistaken. Like It was like an introduction to Spanish or whatever language it was, French and various things. I don't recall any of that, but in my mind, it seems like they were trying to teach us multiple things, the Morse code, the how to decode things. But if I'm not mistaken, there was like some like general language being taught.
I don't remember that part.
There is a lady on TikTok that's, I don't know, she's kind of the main account for this type stuff, and she shows pages. She found a notebook that had those code pages, that had Morse code pages, and it also had Russian stuff in it. So I don't know. I
mean, this was still during the Cold War.
Did you learn that, Krisovich?
I don't recall Russian at all, okay. No.
I have an extreme hatred for the Russian guy in the Rocky movie. Maybe yeah, that's Drago. Subliminal, unconscious
I think thoughts. All of us grew up. That's Red Scare stuff. Yeah.
Does she tie this to the Cold War? You mentioned Cold War. Does she tie any of this? Is that why, like, you know, they're doing their thing over in Russia yeah. and we're doing our stuff?
Because how much of that is missed? Like, the Russians can say, oh, we got psychics. Yeah. So America's going to spend a ton of resources trying to do psychic stuff. So I think that's part of the accusation, because that's when that was happening. And the Project Stargate, like, there are. I was on CIA's website reading about it last night. Like, this was an actual project they were trying to use people to do psychic stuff with.
Did they talk about testing kids?
They didn't. So that's the leap, right? Like, where did they get these subjects from? Some were former military and that kind of thing.
It's awful coincidental that Gate and Stargate.
I mean, that almost makes me say it can't be the same. Much, like, yeah. Surely they're smart enough not to do that. But there's also the piece of all the memories being foggy. Do you feel like you remember other parts of your elementary school more than this stuff? And this stuff is kind of hard to remember?
I remember my first day of kindergarten strictly because I had chicken pox really bad when school started and I didn't go to school like the first 2 weeks.
I thought you were going to say you started an epidemic.
No, I can remember the very first day I went to kindergarten because it kind of scarred me.
Sure.
Because I walk in and all these other kids know each other and, hey, this is your new student, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. I vividly remember that day. I don't remember much else about elementary yeah. school. So when this stuff comes to me, it's like, oh, I remember that sort of, but I don't remember. I can remember a fight I got on, got in on the bus in fourth grade, but that's probably the only two or three things that I can remember from elementary school.
I remember certain bigger events from elementary school, but memory in general, not just my elementary years, but like legitimately, like, to think about what I did a week ago, I would have to pull up my calendar, walk through my day mm-hmm. and try to remember. But like, I've had so many conversations with people like, oh, do you remember when we did this and this and this? I'm like, no, it's not there. Like, as hard as I want to try to think about it, it's gone.
So generally your memories.
And I've thought, do I have dementia? Do I have a brain problem?
Did the Gate people, like Men in Black, flashlight you, you know?
I don't know.
So do you feel the way you talk about it, Chris, is like you have like flashbacks of being probed by like CIA.
I don't think he said
probes
that.
Not the word. By aliens. And
they never touched my butt.
You were abducted by CIA. Like, it's coming back to you as in like recalling tragic things. Is that like, am I making that up?
No, it's something that I never thought about until I saw that video. And it's like, oh, well, that's odd because I remember this, this, and this. And then I didn't go down the rabbit hole. I didn't do the research of the mm-hmm. Stargate and what all they did. But just watching the first video, I was like, I recall that, or I recall things that were similar to that.
Yeah.
And then me and John gets talking about it. And it's like, oh, well, we recall a lot of the same things, even though in completely different settings.
Yeah.
I've never talked to my mom about it, but I was talking to my wife about it, and I was like, out of all the kids that I remember well, why me?
Yeah.
You know, like, I wasn't the smartest kid. I mean, I didn't make terrible grades, but I didn't make straight A's all the time. I really think that if they probably picked me because they knew my parents weren't going to sign anything to,
right.
like, mm-hmm. they didn't know what was going on. So they couldn't object to it. You know what I mean?
Because essentially this is experimentation, right? Even though they're testing for
like
skills and stuff. And just about everything the kids do now, you have to freaking sign for it. And that, and that's one of the theories, is they pick kids who were, I don't know, not going to be noticed getting pulled out, but that maybe wouldn't question it and their family wouldn't question it.
Yeah. My parents. Yeah. I would like to talk to my mom about it, but I'm sure she has no idea that
I asked her. She doesn't.
It's odd that you mentioned that, because I had told John, I said, I was also in the migrant program when I was in elementary school. And that was for kids that moved around a lot. Now, my family moved around a lot, but not after I was born. They kind of settled down in Kentucky. But part of the migrant program paid for dental insurance.
Okay.
So as a kid, we couldn't afford dental insurance. So mom and dad allowed me to be in the migrant program because of free dental insurance. So that makes sense that, well, hey, he's done this program.
Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, that was concurrent things, because they would also pull you out in the migrant program, and it was very generic on what you would do. The guy would give you a crossword puzzle, and he'd give you a sucker, and for an hour, you sat in there and did crossword. Yeah. I mean, it was nothing. It wasn't teaching. It wasn't.
Well, maybe the fine print for the migrant program was the GATE program.
Maybe.
Was CIA experimentation.
See, but yeah, I don't think I ever did anything like that. I remember in my in my middle school days, I remember taking tests that would guess what kind of line of work you would go into.
Yeah, we did those, but and we did the ASVAB, and we did several things as we got older.
Those were with my whole class, so it wasn't just me in a room doing that.
Right, and I don't want to get personal. Were you part of any government assistance when you were growing up in your family?
I would guess that my parents would have qualified for it, but I don't remember. Like, back in the day, we didn't have EBT cards. Right. They were like actual food stamps.
Right. So it was like McDonald's money.
I remember seeing families pull that out at grocery stores, and I don't remember my parents doing that. Gotcha. But we would have qualified. Right. We were definitely low income.
Yeah, we were. Yeah. We were I can recall the government cheese at the armory when they would give stuff out. So we definitely were at one point.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in a little trailer. I would have assumed that they would have qualified, but I don't remember ever having that.
Yeah. Interesting. So, I mean, the government has done, like I said, I read about this on the CIA's website. MK Ultra was a real thing where they gave people LSD to see if that made them psychic, and other drugs and things like that, or to see if they could manipulate people or get people to always tell the truth. Like, there's talk about time travel in the Stargate program or Project Stargate. So, like, the government does really shady crap and tests on people all the time. So I would not be shocked if the GATE program is connected.
I don't think anybody in this room is dumb. I think we're all pretty smart guys. You, Jamie, though, like, you're a freaking genius. If there would have been a gifted and talented, you would have been in it.
I may just not remember. My whole school was pretty much trailers, so I don't really know. We moved around a lot.
Chris, you grew up in... you were close to the Tennessee border, right?
Yes, we were Wayne County. It borders Tennessee.
Do you remember, this is nothing about GATE program, but do you remember Cowboy Louie by any chance? Have we ever talked about this?
Do not.
You don't remember Cowboy Louie?
What is it?
There was what?
I need to tell you a funny Jellicoe basketball team, your high school playing them one year, but go ahead. I want to hear this.
There's a guy we all know from Casey County that knows Cowboy Louie. Cowboy Louie was the D.A.R.E. program before there was D.A.R.E.
Oh.
He looked like Richard Petty, but he came around and told us not to do drugs or drink. The dude obviously was high and drunk every time he ever talked to us. But he was a magician, so he would do magic. And in between his magic, instead of telling us about Jesus, he told us why we shouldn't do drugs. And then I remember he sold Cowboy Louie bucks, which was like a big fake dollar bill with his picture on it. And he sold Cowboy Louie suckers, which were like, you know how you make rock candy, like that kind
of crystal meth.
Yeah, exactly. But it was obviously he had taken this candy and poured it into his ice trays at night and put a popsicle stick in it and then took it out when it was hardened and wrapped it in cellophane. And those were Cowboy Louie popsicles or suckers. So I was just hoping that you remembered Cowboy Louie.
So you're telling me there was a magical cowboy.
And if
why did you expect this magical cowboy to tell you about Jesus? I don't pick up that
part. I'm saying, like, a lot of times I know a magician, or I've seen a magician who would do his tricks and then talk about how you needed Jesus. This guy's doing magic tricks and then telling you not to do drugs.
Another
magician would come in later and talk about Jesus. The best way to talk to rednecks and Jellicoe is through magic.
Why did he have to be a cowboy and a magician?
I think that was like his personality. Like, he looked like Richard Petty. And he called himself
Cowboy. Every time you start to say that, my mind finishes as Richard Simmons, and the story gets so much better.
He had Richard Simmons energy, not lying. Yeah. But no, man. And then his magic words, instead of like abracadabra, it was, dude, ask.
Howdy.
I would call 5 Jellicoe people right now and say, what's Cowboy Louie's magic word? Emo, shimisho, la-di-da. Was how he did all of his magic.
That's you remember witchcraft. That, but don't remember if you drank pink drink or not.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
Did he have any CIA connections?
I think he was probably on a watch list for pedophilia, but like...
You know, I was kind of on the fence up till the Cowboy Louie story, but I don't think you were in GT. I think you were at a camp for... I don't know.
Dude, I wish everybody could know Cowboy Louie.
I don't ever want my kids around Cowboy Louie.
When I wasn't being tested by the CIA, it was Cowboy Louie Day was the best day of the year.
A drunken magic cowboy told me about drugs.
You'll have to look him up online, Jesus. Man.
Dude, no, I mean.
It's awesome. Anyway.
You mean like prison records?
I feel like I wanted to ask something else too. Oh, you Jellicoe story.
Oh, we can tell that one off.
Okay. Sounds like, yeah. All right. So I don't know what to tell you guys. It sounds like. It's certainly like I'm going full conspiracy. I don't think we ever went to the moon. I mentioned that sometimes. The government tests on us all the time. I fully believe this happened. You guys were probably in that program.
I know the program existed because I remember stuff. I don't know that it was tied to the government though. Like I'm not ready to take that leap.
Well, it may be that the government was just, I don't know, like getting results from testing of various kinds to pull people out. And this was part of it. And maybe they were just doing that to help you guys like develop problem solving and puzzle solving skills. And then maybe the government would come and get that and take you away. I don't know.
Well, I can tell you, I've never been contacted by the government since then.
Okay.
So I probably failed all those
tests. Keeping you away. They know how dangerous you are.
Have you ever had jury duty?
I've been called for jury duty.
I've never had.
Have you not?
No.
I've never been picked.
Getting out of jury duty or not having jury duty, that rules.
That would rule.
But I've never had the government, I've never had anybody come.
Having to go either. 5 times and never getting put on a jury, even though they seated one every time, did not rule.
I'd love to talk to you more, Chris, off the air about like, are there any other similarities, not as far as what was happening back then, but like today? Like, is your memory the same as mine? Like, as far as do you have a hard time remembering stuff or. We talked about intuition and all that stuff off the air, but yeah, it's weird. It's weird. I would love to know if it was legit.
If anybody else was involved in this program and want to give your 2 cents, or if Ray listens and says you guys are trashing my career.
Yeah, let's make it clear. I believe these are 2 different programs, what existed and what Ray does.
And I wonder what year the switch was flipped. Let's just say 2000. I don't know, but...
I don't know. I still think it's a weird coincidence that we both probably went through this and now we also both know Ray.
And I mean, by the time we get together to talk about it, he like changes jobs and moves away. So yeah.
Is he the new Cowboy Louie? What's his new job?
I think he's Cowboy Louie.
Emo.
Cowboy Raymond.
La-di-da.
All right. We'd love to hear your experience with the GATE program or your other government conspiracies or any things that you think that rule.
Yeah.
You know what would rule? A 5-star review.
That would rule. Guys, we love you. We'll see you next time.
You've listened to Bless Their Hearts, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and go check us out on Stoveleg.com where you can learn more about Jamie and John. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.